This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 316.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helpsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. Oh, come on. Do I really have to read this? Solving all your problems and making your dreams come true. If these guys were in the woods, squirrels would drag them up a tree. Keith Helpsley and Nathan Caldwell. Looking twice as good as they did before. But, oh, how they looked before.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Quest for Truth. And this is your host, Keith. And I am live today in Church House Studio, joined by co-hosts. Amazing. And we don't have a lot of time, so what we thought we would do is open up with our traditional Meet the Host segment. And if things fall apart later, because I suspect the Retrobots will be not very happy with this, don't ask why.
Why, Keith?
Well, there are some technology issues happening today. We'll have to see how things turn out. But hey, as things fall apart, I'm sure that between Nathan and I, we will get to our actual featured topic.
Issues.
We do have a featured topic.
I lost you for a second there.
Must have been a Zoom kind of dipping out on me or something. I don't know. But yeah, here we are. Of course, the voice you hear there is Nathan Caldwell. And also with us today is Christopher the Wild Moose.
Yeah, I'm here.
Making a comeback.
Who let the moose out?
Don't call me a comeback. I've been here for years.
Who let the moose out?
Well, I do identify as a moose.
Oh, no.
So what's your pronouns? And so every time you see him, you must make that sound.
And if you don't, you're bigoted and you're
evil. Didn't they pass a law about that recently?
I don't know.
Maybe. Never can tell with all this critical theory. The critical theory that has absolutely no basis in logic whatsoever.
Oh, that's a whole other topic. I need to get I need to holler at Jamal.
Oh, yeah. We should get him on the show if we can. Hey, speaking of Jamal, let's take this time to talk about Christian podcast community and some of the great podcasters that you'll find on christianpodcastcommunity.org.
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another for his name's sake.
What's up, everybody? I'm Jamal Bandy, the host of the Prescribed Truth Podcast, where I seek to distribute the truth that the doctor prescribes to the church and the world today. The Lord graciously brought me out of a cult in 2010, saved me in 2013, and in 2017, Prescribed Truth began. My mission has been to spread the truth of God's word while refuting dangerous lies affecting most churches and the culture at large from a biblical and reformed perspective. Join me on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the live recording of the podcast on YouTube and download the audio version wherever podcasts can be found, including the Christian Podcast Community. If you would like to know more about Prescribed Truth, please visit my website at prescribedtruth.com. And remember, this world is full of errors, but the only thing that the doctor prescribes is truth. Blessings.
Ding dong! Jehovah's Witnesses. Ding dong! Mormons, Christian, are you ready to defend the faith when false religions ring your doorbell? Do you know what your Muslim and Jewish friends believe? You will if you get Andrew Rappaport's book, What Do They Believe? When we witness to people, we need to present the truth, but it is very wise to know what they believe, and you will get Andrew Rappaport's book at whatdotheybelieve.com.
Okay, we are back.
Those are some good podcasts.
You should Hi, my name is Nathan Caldwell, and I'm the host. Oh, sorry, what?
So, hey, for people maybe who are fairly new to the show, meet the host. We probably talked about it once in a while, but it's hard to do unless we're all here together live. When we first started the podcast, we were live every week. And we would always like to open up with basically what's new, what's been happening lately this week, what kind of, you know, typical life things go down, because, hey, we're not just podcasters. We're real people just like you. Well, maybe we're not that guy over there, but
no, I'm a moose,
like the rest of you.
Was Keith looking at me when he said that? I'm just as normal as anybody, and maybe even more normal than that Nathan Caldwell guy.
No, David, you're not a real person. No.
Yes, I am.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. Well,
no, David.
Maybe he's.
You tell him, Callie.
Callie, we might accept. David, no.
Oh, thank you. You're such a sweetie.
Callie's close.
You know, you really shouldn't antagonize David so much, though.
Okay.
Yeah, the Retrobots.
Yeah. Stop antagon. That thing that Callie said.
What do you mean, don't antagonize them? It's so much fun.
You know, when the Bible says not to antagonize your robots to anger. Wait.
So close.
Does the Bible really say that? I'm going to go look it up. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back later.
But yet so far.
And so, yeah, our Meet the Host, sometimes we just like to have a little bit of fun. We'd like to... We used to like to equate it to, hey, you go to Sunday school, you have your lesson, but when you first get there, you just kind of...
Fellowship,
joking around, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're just going to at least start out this way and see where it takes us.
I'm venison.
You're venison?
Yeah, moose.
Is that anything like venting?
Right? Isn't that what you would call a moose meat?
Like a moose burger?
Like if you
thought that was deer.
The moose, it'd be like venison.
I know what deer is. I don't know. You're the moose. I'll take your word for it.
I don't know. I probably don't taste very good anyway. Probably tastes a bit like a human.
Yeah. Well, let's not eat that.
That's just a bunch of bull, Winkle.
Speaking of moose puns.
Yeah.
What do you call a mama moose carrying her baby moose? A papoose.
Yeah.
If you had a whole line of moose going through the woods, what would you call the last one? The caboose.
What do you say to a moose that's gone someplace? Vamoose.
That's actually a better one than the others because you actually have the M in there.
Yeah, well, I was using my bad rapper poetry rhyme book.
You just got to be close enough.
I never claimed to be a good poet. But I do have some written out there. Visit my personal homepage, Haltsley.net, and do a search for tags on poetry. You'll find some really horrible stuff.
Speaking of horrible, I mean, speaking of shameless plugs, let's talk a little bit about Life Network, Life Truth Network for a moment.
Yeah.
Recently, we put out a new counter shock, which we haven't done in a good little while.
We featured that on our last Truth Exposed, as I recall.
All right.
We squeezed it in there.
Oh, man.
Some of y'all have already heard our new tag. We have a new tag for the Life Truth Network that we're going to try and put with our shows. I've got to get with Jimmy David Robbins so he can put it on the new Crimson Garnet. Hopefully I can catch him in time. Speaking of it, episode seven.
We have the original one. This just your voice, and I have one with a musical mix on it.
I think you used number four, and I think I'm going to stick with that one for me.
I would prefer that, and I'll tell you why. The musical mix I used on the other one, I'm not sure entirely if we have permission to use.
Yeah.
The one you called number four, I do know we have permission on that, because if you listen to our theme music and you get to the very end of the stuff we use on Truth Exposed, that's how it ends.
You got a little Zerbinator going on, don't you?
Yeah, and Kevin Zerby, he's given me permission to use the music that we use. So, yeah, that's why we give him credits at the end.
That is great.
All the music you hear comes from him.
That's
except
great.
Except for the loop drama. That comes from somebody else.
Yes. But anyway, speaking of which, I think you've almost got the script done for the loop drama, so you can be expecting us to work on that some.
I just proofread it, and then I got to send it to you so you can rip it apart and hand out to people to read.
Just don't tear it up into too many small pieces.
It depends on if he likes it or not.
I guess it depends on if he's also trying to make a ransom note.
I'm needing one or two parts for Stronghold. That should come out soon. Well, I say soon, relatively. Dangerous Christian, I mean, we got a lot of voices that still need coming out, but I believe Michael Prince has already given us his. So, I mean, we are making progress out there. So,
yeah. Excuse me, kind of far from the microphone. Let me get back over here. On that Dangerous Christian one, as I recall, it mostly features around, I think, the two characters.
Yes.
Now, honestly, most of the rest of what's been scripted could be ad-libbed.
I'll give
a little bit of heads up. There's some fight scenes and things.
Right.
I don't want to script out that. I'd rather have people ad-lib to a certain degree.
And there's there are several areas where there's flashbacks, and I don't know if we'll end up using the scenes from the shows or if we're going to be re-recording things or what, but a few items of flashbacks going on from previous episodes.
Right. So that'll be something to look forward to. Maybe because if you're using a lot of flashbacks and ad-libs, maybe it'll take less production time than a year to a year and a half.
I don't know. Depends.
Man, why? It'd be like during those fight scenes, it'd be like watching a Dragon Ball episode. Why are they just screaming a lot?
Well, their power, I don't understand their language. Oh, wait, this one's not dubbed. Hold on.
Yeah. Well, they're speaking Aramaic.
That's not Dragon Ball.
No, but it might be Luke.
Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm the one who scripts those, and I don't know Aramaic, so they're not going to be speaking Aramaic.
That's right.
I guess we were talking about Dan Christian anyway.
It's all right.
A little bit of behind the scenes fun we have around here.
Absolutely. Image. And I wonder if the CPC would be willing to change Quest for Truth to Life Truth Network.
I'm sure, because other podcasts have rebranded themselves. Guys in the Bible is now governed by God.
That's right.
So it's not unheard of that they haven't done that before. And then, honestly, a little more backstory here. Maybe more folks want to know. When we first started the podcast, I just basically powered it off of a subdomain on my personal blog. It was podcast.helpsley.net.
Those were the days.
And mainly because I wasn't sure how this whole thing was going to turn out. And we kind of went with it, what I thought would be my flagship program, Alive and Still Married, kind of fizzled for reasons that we don't want to get into right now, not enough time. that became Quest for Truth. And we still just kind of kept things going through podcast Helsley.net. And then after a couple of years went by and things are still going pretty strong, I thought, hey, it's about time we get our own domain name. And now that we're looking for a domain name after the fact, I couldn't get Quest because it's taken by, I think it's a security agency of all things. I couldn't get Truth because, hey, that's a pretty popular thing. Couldn't get Quest Truth or Truth Quest. I thought, oh, what do I do? Well, we talk about life issues.
That's right.
And we talk about the truth of the gospel. So I crammed that together. Of course, there is a ministry out there called Truth Life, I think, by some really well-known person. And I thought, well, so I flipped it backwards and was just Life Truth and put a hyphen in the middle. So I made sure it was going to work. And that's how we came up, kind of backward engineering into a domain. But now that we're combined because of the issues you were having with your host, and now we're under one roof, it may be this time to rebrand and just call the whole thing Life Truth Network. And
we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yeah, and that way we've got all of our variety of options for people. I have to say, there's a lot of really, getting back to Christian podcast community, a lot of excellent folks out there, a lot of really smart theologian type people who really know their stuff. And whenever we plug that at the beginning end of the show, I'm not just saying that, there are really some serious,
they're good
people. And sometimes I kind of feel like, you know, we're not worthy, Bill and Ted. We're not worthy.
That wasn't Bill and Ted.
Whoever said that, Dwayne's World, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do, maybe we do fit a niche. You know, we try to be more, I guess, a layman approach, more of a grassroots level kind of approach. And I hope people kind of get that feel from us. And I hope that's what they like about the podcast.
I hope I'm not the only one who ever hears you guys mention.
We're having technical glitches.
In a trench coat.
Yeah, well, maybe that could be part of our logo. A guy with a little fedora on with sunglasses in it. But that would just be wrong. But that's what we get when we had the Wild Moose. He is a free radical, we'll just say.
I do my best.
We're losing you.
Uh-oh.
Well,
we're still Christians.
Yeah. We're still that. Can you hear us now?
There. Maybe he got abducted by aliens.
Are you back?
Yep, we got you.
There he is.
Did you hear us at all while you...
All right, so your show may end up being in two parts. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Well, I do have
Did we lose Chris?
No, he's here.
I can't be lost if I'm in person.
We're in the same room together, so we're kind of sharing a mic. I do have a backup.
Oh, okay.
So in case the one drops off, we should be good with the other. But yeah, there's some background of the podcast and some history of how we came to have a somewhat not related domain name from the show.
Yeah, and now I'm wondering, you know, now I'm, part of me says, well, now that we're all looped in, do we break Truth Exposed off from Quest for Truth and make it its own thing? I don't know now. But not, kinda, since it's pretty much it's all our Bible stuff.
I kind of like to keep the Truth Exposed separate for one reason, is its real one intention is to dive deep into the scripture and really go through it line by line. Whereas even with on Quest for Truth, when we talk about a Bible topic, and even was it last week, you left me some comments to use, and I thought there's something that I need a little bit more, and I thought, you know, I know, I'll go dig into my J. Vernon McGee library of stuff. And I kind of used that to fill in a little bit of commentary that I felt I wasn't quite hitting. But whenever we do Quest for Truth, it's more of a topical. We'll talk about a topical thing, so we could be anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
And so the truth exposed, its focus is going through John, the book of John, just passage by passage, even if it's just a handful of verses, until we get to the last chapter. And once we get there, we'll have to decide where we're going to tackle next.
Probably not Luke, because we're already technically doing Luke. So.
Right. We could probably skip that. We could always go for some other either gospel, or jump to one of Paul's letters. You know, we could crunch through Jude or something. It's so long, you know.
Oh yeah, Jude is like, yeah.
I was hoping we got to do a truth exposed. You would say, let's pick that one because it's only one chapter. Yeah.
Yep.
We could crunch through that verse by verse. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know. In our family, every once in a while, somebody will quote Jude 3 something. You know, it's like, it's in Jude 3:4 or 3:10 or something. You know, yeah. Yeah. You know, they'll make something up and go, yeah, that's Jude 3:10.
Yeah. Look at that, people. You'll find it.
Yeah.
You can trust us.
Maybe. If you tackle Paul, though, be careful. He's probably old from and you might hurt him.
Yeah, you might just get a skeleton or something. Huh?
Have to dig him up before you tackle him. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, you got to find him first.
Yeah.
I suggest looking in Rome.
That'll be logical, sure. Well, yeah, sometimes we have Chris present his alter ego on the show, Anti-Chris. I don't know if we want to talk to Antichrist today or not. I might save that for another time. We mentioned earlier, you know, all the alleged critical race theory. There's just so much. I don't want to get into it too deep, but whenever I was my abbreviated college career that lasted all of about a year and a half, we had a critical thinking class, and we'd learned critical thinking. And it resembles nothing of what the critical theory that.
Before you get somebody telling you what you need to think, it's really important that you learn how to think.
Yeah, I do.
I know that sounds thinking on the that topic. Sounds really dumb, but you need to know how to tackle ideas.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, you will be, as I think Brother Paul says, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's a kind of, for example, and this will harken back several years ago, kind of to the birthplace of what's now BLM. And that was Ferguson, Missouri, back when they had all the riotous things happening there. And I have to say, I don't really watch the news that much. I haven't really started keeping track of the news very much at all until the past year or so. I never even hardly had a news app on my phone because all the stupidness out there is just that, stupidity. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, hey, that I can keep track of, you know, stuff like what's happening with COVID and all this weird stuff in the world. And, but I remember getting back to the issue with Ferguson, I would hear a news blurb or somebody at church would say, hey, have you heard about this? And every time someone would say, a cop gunned down a black dude in St. Louis or in Ferguson, which is a suburb of, I'd be like, wow, that sounds pretty bad. And I hear some other person, oh, that sounds bad, but it goes against what that person said. And you would see a news flash, and there'd be some reporter out there literally instigating things. The riots were dying down, but here I am, reporter on the spot. We're just pouring salt in the wound, and they're flaring back up again, thanks to me. And it's like, okay, there's news being told, but they're not telling all the news. And what I've done, especially say in this last year with COVID, it's like there's something that people aren't saying. You hear CNN say this, you hear AP say that, and it's that there's a hole. There, somebody is not covering something. It's sensational. It sounds horrific, but there's something that's not being said. And so you'll find alternate news agencies like was it OAN, One American News, or what's another one?
One News Now.
Newsmax.
Yeah. And you'll get these headlines that's like, wow, okay, this is what the other ones aren't saying. And then you can see where the spin is being placed because you're not relying on one news voice out
there. Right.
Somebody once on Facebook, I posted a headline from Fox, and they're like, oh, well, I can see why you believe that. If that's all you read is Fox News, I'm like, no, I don't. I read all of them. I read them all. And if you read the mainstream ones, air quotes, CNN and CBS, and MSNBC, it's like they're all being written by the same person.
Well, I fear it's getting closer and closer to not too far from the truth.
Yeah. And, but then you balance it with the other ones and Fox, I don't know about them. Sometimes they can be just as bad. But the more sources that you read, the more information streams, now you can begin to critically think about what's really happening.
You're able to put a more complete picture together.
Right. And you can say, oh, well, I see what, say, CNN is talking about, but all I hear is emotional, little effect here, emotional.
And right.
Okay, you're missing an awful lot. I don't want you to tell me how I should feel. Just give me the fact. You know, and
I don't want your bias in it.
Right.
I just want the truth.
And this is why I quit listening to the news years ago, because even 20 years ago, there was a lot of opinion in the news. What should have been the news was really op-ed. It should have been left for the editor to editorialize about.
Right.
Let the journalist journal. Leave the editorial to the editor. But even 20 years ago, there was just so much editorializing and analyzing, and they called it news, and it's so much worse now.
And I know people say, well, you Christians, you have your news, and it's biased too. But if it's done properly, what they're doing is they're looking at Scripture and seeing what Scripture has to say about the news. They're not trying to change it or you know – I don't think they're trying to hide anything. Yeah. If they are, shame on them.
Yeah. If someone says, oh, you're a Christian, then this is why you, I'm labeling you. I know why you're thinking this way. Well, you know, great. Are you thinking this way because you have a prejudged image of what a Christian believes? Or are you believing this way because you've actually read the Bible and you know firsthand where I'm coming from?
And here's another thing. And I get, you know, you're just like, well, you have this spin on news because you're a Christian and you listen to such and such and such and such. Okay, maybe that's true. Prove me wrong. Because here's the thing. The other sources often have been proved wrong.
And hypocritical about
many
things. Yeah.
anybody who says that they, here's anybody who says, oh, you're a Christian, well, you must believe this, just has never met me before, because
how do you know I believe that?
Because I'm like, excuse me? Well, you listen to this kind of music, don't you? Hmm, like, no. Whenever I'm at mom's house.
Or they're like, you're a Christian, you must have heard of, and they'll insert some famous televangelist or something, or they'll insert some famous flavor of Christian music, and I'll go like, I've never heard of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't listen to the radio to tune in a sermon. I want to go see a sermon in person at my local church.
Right.
I want to do. So I don't, David Jeremiah, I don't know who he is. I've heard his name. I've never heard him speak. There's some people, have you heard what he said this week? I'm like, I don't even know who he is. I heard his name because you keep saying his name.
But I'm pretty sure David and Jeremiah are two different people from the Bible.
there are some preachers I do listen to. There's one I no longer listen to because of a scandal that he was found guilty of doing some things. I won't go into that. And it kind of turned me off of him, even though what he had to say was true. It just turned me off, you know. It's just, but I like listening to some Adrian Rogers every once in a while.
He's dead now, you know.
Yeah, but he man, they got some recordings of him preaching. It's still good.
Yeah,
it goes to tell you how timeless scripture really is.
Yeah, he definitely was a very well-spoken preacher.
The Adrian you're totally Rogers. Breaking up again.
If you're someone that comes from outside of the Christian worldview and say, oh, I know you're a Christian, so therefore you must be Catholic, you worship the Pope. Well, not everybody who is Christian is Catholic. I hope you do know that.
Right.
Catholics are Catholic.
But don't get me started, because you know I will.
The people who are outside the Christian faith, to them, they don't know. They just automatically assume from their own maybe misguided experience or mis-experience what they think they...
Well, I'm afraid this is where I have to slip out. I'm being summoned by a little furry fellow, so...
Oh, wow.
If you want to see a picture of the little furry fellow, y'all guys need to look up Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase over wherever you listen to your podcast. Other than that, I got to go. He's good, like, talking to you guys.
The door with his leg is crossed. Come on.
I was going to say, how'd you get Frodo Baggins?
No, he's actually outside. I'm hoping he comes in.
Well,
later.
We'll go ahead and transition out of here then, and we'll be right back with our main topic.
Hello, everyone. Daniel Minnick here. I host a podcast called Truth Espresso, and I am inviting you to join in. So what can you expect at Truth Espresso? Well, at Truth Espresso, we wake up our minds every Monday with a robust shot of truth. Let's dig deep in the Word of God as we get to know our God better together. Let's challenge our view of the world as we take apart conventional politics with a fine-toothed comb. See all that Truth Espresso has to offer by going to www.truthespresso.com. And by the way, Truth Espresso is now a member podcast of the growing family of the Christian podcast community. Check out other faith-building shows at christianpodcastcommunity.org, hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries.
Commands of Christ, presented by Nathan Caldwell.
Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's check our motivations. Where do we want our treasures to be? Because a lot of times people will do things, but they'll do them for the wrong... They'll do good things, but they'll be doing it for the wrong reason. And sorry, that's not going to work with God. You want, if you do something because you want praise, well, guess where your reward's going to be? It's going to be right here. But if you do something because you want God to reward it and God to be blessed, well, there you go. There you're laying up treasures in heaven.
That was Commands of Christ, presented by Nathan Caldwell.
Did you know that Striving for Eternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible Interpretation Made Easy, Creation Science, Evangelism, Presuppositional Apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Alrighty, well, that seemed like a good place for a break. I know Nathan Caldwell does have to go away for some other business. And in our little break time, I have been abandoned by Chris the Wild Moose, so you could just get me here for the time being in Church House Studios. I think we will have some words from Nathan Caldwell that I can shuffle into the mix here. But I wanted to take this time to read through some notes I had, and in all transparency, this actually was a recent Sunday school lesson. I have to say I wasn't present to either deliver or receive this Sunday school lesson, but I did read it out of the quarterly materials that our church has from Lifeway. So I want to give that credit where credit is due, and there is allowances, you know, copyright permissions. Whenever you get the lesson, I mean, the whole lesson is like 10 pages long, roughly, more or less, depends on the lesson. And trust me, this is going to be a very bare bones outline and points for discussion and thoughts that I come up with. And probably any time this gets taught or presented could end up in any number of ways. So essentially, all I'm just really doing is borrowing the outline and some talking points. So don't worry, I'm in no way trying to do copyright infringement on Lifeway. But this particular content, they titled it Worthy? And I've read this lesson in other places, presented by other people. And hey, you can get extract various teaching points out of it. But the thing I wanted to talk about is basically humility and being humble. As we approach God in faith, because God does accept those who approach Him, but we have to come on His terms and not our terms. And after all that build up, just on the title alone, let's open our Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 9 through 17, maybe even less than that. Now, I know Nathan, he had told me in our in-between times, he actually has recorded a sermon, and his sermon, he says, goes all the way to verse 30, which includes a lot more of Jesus' teachings on the matter, but it's still all about being humble, lessons and humility and not being self-righteous and that kind of thing. So without much more ado, there's some kind of things to open up with. Is as we go through this, think of what God's kingdom really is all about. I just heard another sermon, and not on this topic, or not on this passage, but on the topic, sort of. And, you know, there are people who think, you know, hey, they're doing all right. They do the right things. They go to church. They live the right ways. Hey, even atheists say, I'm doing all right. I'm a moral person. Wherever they develop those from is questionable, but it certainly wouldn't be from the Bible exactly. But people say, hey, I'm doing okay. I'm living all right. God should accept me as I am. And then there's other people who, in our society, don't get accepted by the cultural norms. And that could go a lot of ways. Cultural norms of what? Cultural norms of, you know, church folks. And this is, like I said, extracted from a Sunday school lesson, so this would be the aim. But think about it, you know, read the news. Who sets the cultural norms out there? There's a lot of crazy, wacko stuff. And the fact that I even said crazy and wacko shows, according to, I think it's AP News Journalism standards of writing, you shouldn't say words like wacko or crazy. You're supposed to use something else, I think. Remarkable or something, I don't know. But you can't use that when you're talking about something that's literally, mentally, medically a problem. But one thing about these parables that Jesus teaches in the Bible is that, he often turns the questions on their heads. He always answers the question or the question. But it's like a mirror sometimes. We see a mirror, and what does it do? We may think we're doing okay. We look in the mirror and say, oh, I got a little bit of stain there on my shirt, or my hair's a little messed up, or something. You didn't know until you seen the mirror and it reflected back who you are. You may be walking around thinking, I'm a total mess. You look in the mirror and say, yeah, okay, I am. I'm a total mess. Or maybe the mirror will reflect back and you'll think you're a total mess when maybe you're not. So the scripture, let's get into this here. And I want you to listen how the Pharisee here, he has actions and words that reflect his pride in himself. We're going to start here in verse 9. Oh, and by the way, this is from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Wow, do you know anybody like that?
Now he gave another parable here. It's a parable about a Pharisee and a publican.
Hey, who was that?
David. Hush.
But that wasn't Nathan. Keith said that Nathan Caldwell had some comments to add.
David. Be quiet. J. Vernon McGee has his own important ideas on the topic.
He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And you'll never get anywhere praying like that, by the way. A great many people pray down, you know, to other folk. They go to the Lord, they say, oh, brother so-and-so, he's in a bad way, he's departed from the Lord. Bring him back and bring this dear woman back and bring that. What about you? Pray for yourself, friends. We need to pray for ourselves, lest we be tempted. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one, the spirit of meekness, lest what? Same thing happen to you. So we need to pray for ourselves, too.
Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. So, you know, the Pharisee, the religious, smug, self-righteous type, and the tax collector, they weren't accepted in society. They were taught to be traitors. They took your money to give it to the government, and give it to the government that wasn't God's government. In verse 11, the Pharisee was standing and praying like this. God, I thank you that I am not a sinner like other people. Greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a day, and I give a tenth of everything I make. So you see that? He was standing and praying. There's nothing wrong with that. That was the typical posture of prayer at the time. There's various other postures, you know, kneeling or bowing down. But standing at this point in Jewish history seems to be acceptable. And we'll see that the tax collector also stood to pray. We often stand to pray today. We are in the congregational prayer, right? Nothing wrong with the posture. But it's all about, I thank you that I am not like them. I thank you I'm not like that guy. I thank you that I'm not greedy or unrighteous or these other things you said. It's all about him. His prayer was all about him. Thank you, God, for making me so great. When we put too much trust in ourselves, it just leads to contempt for others.
Now notice, listen to him. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Believe me, in my book, he's a bigger sinner than all this crowd that he listed here. And he's worse sinner than the publican. That's what our Lord is saying. Now, notice what he did. He's a religious phony, by the way. And he went through religious exercises.
What are some things that we can recognize in ourselves that maybe we're trusting in ourselves and not God? I mentioned some stuff early on. Hey, I do okay. I go to church. I do the right things. I give the money. I go through the motions. I'm a good person. I raise my family right. I do a good job at work. I don't do anything illegal. I'm doing all right. God must love me. That's red flags everywhere right there. We should do the right things, but we shouldn't do the right things because we want our works to make God love us. He already does love us. But he kind of used his prayer to announce his self-righteousness there. So as Jesus did, he turned the attention from the Pharisee to the tax collector. And so let's look at what a little bit of actual godly humility looks like here. Reading here in verse 13 and beyond, 13 to 14, I think, is all we're going to go to here today. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
And that poor publican stood away off. And actually, he didn't say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, when that man was a publican, he couldn't go to the mercy seat in the temple. That was denied him. He had no part there. He was shut out from it. And what he's saying to God is, oh, God, make a mercy seat for me, a poor publican, to go to.
Verse 14. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other one. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You see the difference here? If humility is something that's hard to fake, if you say you're humble, it may not be. You don't have to use those words. But humility comes through this guy's actions. Hey, let's look at their body language, okay? They both stood to pray. Nothing wrong with that. But of course, Pharisees didn't specifically say, but he seemed to be standing in the prominent place to deliver his speech, whereas the tax collector stood far off. He's like, you know, on the back row or tucked in a corner. And he's beating his chest, and it says,
repeatedly is how this phrase should be. Let's see if we can go back and see how I can find how the CSB worded this again. He wouldn't raise his eyes to heaven, and he kept beating his chest. I mean, it's repeatedly he kept beating his chest. And it says, and saying, the word it carries over. He repeatedly was saying is how this should actually shake out in the phrasing of what he was doing there. He repeatedly, his body language beating himself, and he repeatedly announced to God, "I'm not worthy." He didn't try to announce his sins about greed or pride or anything. He didn't try to confess wrongdoings. All he knew was he was messed up and he needed God. So what's the point here, we might say? Well, we do need to confess our sins to the Father. And sometimes the most weighty, strongest, significant prayer we can say is, God help me. Or just plain, help. Leave it there. Sometimes the depth that word goes, this is why elsewhere in the Bible it says, the Holy Spirit groans in words too deep for us to understand. We don't have to groan. I heard some people in their prayer, they're praying long, and all of a sudden they're groaning. It's like, what's that all about? You just say the words, even if it's just, like I said, help. And let the Holy Spirit do the deep, agonizing words that needs to be said that you can't express.
But here is the contrast between these two. And he asked the question, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. And I suppose the biggest stumbling block that all of us have is ourselves. I think the greatest hindrance today to being saved is self, because the man thinks he's good enough to be saved and he doesn't need to be saved. And the greatest hindrance today to Christian service is the reason God doesn't use a great many talented people today. To begin with, he never gave them a gift that they think they've got. They have arbitrarily attempted to use a gift. Now, I know a woman that wants to sing. She's determined to be a soloist. A young woman, she's taken music from about everybody. And I don't know much about music, but I know one thing, she can't sing. And yet she persists in it. And she feels like she's got a wonderful voice. And she doesn't have. And may I say that she could serve God some other capacity. I don't know what it would be, but she certainly could, because she is a Christian. I think God's given her a gift. But that gift just does not happen to be singing. You see, Lord, I'm a singer. Now I want you to help me out. Or, Lord, I'm a preacher. I want you to help me out. Well, Lord, it's not that. Lord, I'm a sinner. Help me out. Show me what you want me to do. That's the important thing. That's the all-important thing. You see, self gets in the way here. Paul said that he saw within his flesh there was no good thing, and that what he wanted to do, he didn't do. Who got in the way? The devil? No, Paul got in the way. That old nature that we could label Saul, you see. What a marvelous thing that he does here.
But when we have this honest confession of sin, this is what really leads to God's forgiveness. God doesn't care about our works. The works are important, don't get me wrong. But what he really cares about is, are you honest about confessing your sin? Do you want to repent from that? You don't say, I'm doing okay. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than Hitler. As if Hitler has anything to do with it. But sometimes, as I mentioned up front, our own goodness, our own goodness gets in the way of our being justified. We try to actually justify ourselves. And it just leads to a lot of danger whenever we have to stand before God in this situation of pride versus humility. And you know, here's an extra layer to that. And I'll go ahead and stop here. This lesson material goes on, but I don't want to drag our time out too long today. But just as we stand before God and say, "Oh gosh, I'm messed up. I'm beating my chest, and I just can't. You know, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I just need you to take care of this." Well, let's turn around. Now let's step outside the doors of the church and look at all the people out there who don't know God. I mean, how do we treat them? Do we look down on them like this Pharisee because they're unchurched, they're not like us, they're a different color, they're a different income bracket, they have different philosophies and morals, standards, maybe they're too progressive, maybe they're too conservative. But we just need to see them how God sees us. Do they deserve our love and grace and forgiveness? Well, heck no, but we don't deserve it either. So, you know, freely receive, freely give is, I guess, how I want to wrap this up. We receive grace and forgiveness from God, and we need to look around for those others who are not like us. And even if we can't find the words, at least live with grace towards them and forgiveness towards them. And yeah, sure, if you can present the gospel message, oh, please do so. And it's so simple. Jesus died for our sins. Ta-da! That's it. Gospel message. Why is that important? Well, our sin keeps us from God. Why is that important? You don't want to be on God's bad side. Ultimately, we want to, when we die, there's, you know, an afterlife, and you should be wanting to enjoy that life forever. And our sin keeps us from there. This is why Jesus dying for our sin is so important. Okay, now people say, "Oh, the alternative, God's not going to send us to hell." Well, he actually says he does. He doesn't send us to our sins that have separated us, will drag us down there to that place. So even if you say, "Oh, I'm a good guy, I'm doing good, well, I'm self-righteous, I'm not greedy," you're like that guy over there. Well, if your sins aren't forgiven, then you're not going to be in that same place that guy over there is going to be. And there is people say, "Oh, well, if I did more good deeds than I've done bad deeds, God will accept me." Well, no. There is a book of life and another book. I'm not sure it has a name. But if everything you do, yeah, you're right. If there's a good deed, it's there. If there's a bad deed, it's there. But the difference is the book of life, if your name is there, ain't free pass. Get into heaven because Jesus paid for your sins, right? But the other book, yeah, you will. You will. Good deed, bad deed. Good deed, bad deed. But you know what that does? It sets your place in the lake of fire. You're not going to be punished one iota less than you deserve. So, yeah, okay. You're not going to be maybe in the deepest, darkest pits of the lake of fire, but you're still going to be there. Maybe you'll be on the fringe, I hope. But that's an awful lot of faith you're putting on your good deeds, and no matter what, your good deeds are still going to get you out of there. You won't be with God where you want to be. Anyway, I went on a little bit longer than I expected to on the gospel message, because it's really simple. Jesus died for your sins. He rose to prove he has power over that. So that's what I got. Hey, you know, let's wrap up here with a word from the folks at the Christian Podcast Community. Oh, and if you want to hear more of Nathan's sermon, we'll see if I can't post the whole thing sometime on the podcast feed for you to enjoy. But anyway, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. Listen to folks like this.
Governed by God, a conversation on theology, culture, and God's Word by Eric Leupold. And Eric also says, feel free to send him any theological, cultural questions you would like for him to address on the show. You can email him at the gbgpodcast@gmail.com. You can also visit his podcast site through the Christian Podcast Community, located at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of Striving for Eternity and part of the Christian Podcast Community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's Word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of Scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a 2-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
Okay, and that is it. This is the end of the show where I say this is your host Keith signing off.
Hey, where is Nathan Caldwell?
David, what are you doing?
Thanks for listening.
I found that Bible verse, Ephesians 6:4.
We hope you can drop us a good, honest rating and review at your favorite podcast directory of your choice.
It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yeah, so?
Hey, you know what? Better yet, as far as I'm concerned, drop us an email.
Don't you get it? Nathan was antagonizing me. Provoking me.
I still don't get it.
Leave us a comment.
I love you too, Daddy.
David. Stop it.
On the show notes, go to the webpage, life-truth.com. Leave us a comment.
David. Stop. You're embarrassing us. And you're ruining the show.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, our show announcer, Anthony Russo. Would you tell us about yourself, Anthony?
Oh, and me? I'm Anthony Russo. You can listen to my podcast over at graceandpeaceradio.com.
All righty. And he will tell you how to contact us and all the usual credits. Take it away, Anthony.
No. You can't end the show yet. Nathan, come back. All is forgiven.
David, you're ruining Anthony's end credits.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows.
You wouldn't.
Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844.
Watch me.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage.
Oh, stop it already.
Make me.
Follow us on Twitter at HPNCAST.
Blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook.
Yeah. That's my daddy.
You're making me sick.
Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com.
You're just jealous because Nathan isn't your daddy.
He isn't your daddy either.
He has a puppy.
May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a savior.
Wait, what did that guy just say?
He said, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
No, don't go yet.